Neck, and you can be seated this morning. So let me just say good morning. Let me say welcome to Bethel. Thanks for coming and hanging out with us today. And so we are going to continue in our series. We've been talking about the exceeding greatness of God. How many know God is good? Can I hear an amen? And He really is better than what we even can imagine or believe. Like, God just keeps showing up and keeps doing stuff. And so I want to talk to you a little bit today. Maybe I don't trust you behind me, Jesse Pate. Get on off the stage, boy. I know how you're bred. And I want to talk to you a little bit today as a pastor. Now, I just want to talk to you a little bit as your pastor, as your shepherd. I first want to say on behalf of me and Tubby and my family and every bit of the staff that's here at Bethel, just say thank you for last week. It was a great week for us celebrating 25 years of the privilege of getting to be your pastor. And so, yeah, thank you. I'll say this, thank you for loving us. Because you know what? We've not always got it right. And any pastor that tells you that he's always got it right, that should be a red flag. Because pastors are just like all men, we make mistakes. And so over the years, I look back and so I say thank you for loving us. Thank you for supporting us. Thank you for praying for us when we didn't get it right, and thank you for going on a 25-year journey with us. It really has been an exceeding blessing, more than we ever thought or could imagine. And so I'll say this, we couldn't have done it without you. We couldn't have done it without the Lord, obviously, but we can't live life. We can't be all that God has called us to be without our circle and our friends and our support group. Just remember that. That's so important. We couldn't have done it without you. So thanks for the past 25 years. But I want to say this to you today. Today's not about the past 25 years. I'm very thankful for all of that, but I am most excited about the next 25 years. So last week, Mike McCreary was here, a great friend of ours, who's the director of the Church Multiplication Network. If you were here, he sat down with me and he questioned me. And so that night, Sunday night, he came home and he ate supper with us and he spent the night with us. We got up on Monday morning, we're drinking coffee, sitting at the bar, and he said, "Well, all right, Cochran, how's it feel now after yesterday? How's it feel after 25-year celebration?" And I thought about it a minute, and I said, "Well, let me tell you, Mike, I'll be honest with you. Like, it was an amazing day. It blew me away. But you know what? None of that really matters anymore, because now it's not about the past. It's about moving forward and seeing what God has in store." And I just want to challenge you. How many of you can say, "God's been extremely good to me"? That was sad. That was bad. God has been good to us, but really and truly, and we're going to look to the scripture today, we're going to see how the future is so bright that we got to wear shades. That the future is more, there's more promises of God, there's more blessings of God, there's more favor of God to walk in the future than there was in the past. And so today, as a pastor, I want to say this to you, I'm sending you an invitation. I'm sending you an invitation. I have here a wedding invitation from a young couple who's getting married, who that we know, and I'm going to be doing the ceremony in a few weeks. They sent us this invitation in the mail, and it was hanging on our refrigerator this morning, and I saw it up there, and I thought, how cool is that, that this young couple sent us an invitation and said, "Come be a part of our wedding ceremony. Come be a part. Come join with us so that we can celebrate the covenant relationship of marriage." But I got to thinking about it. They're not just inviting us to be a part of a one-day ceremony. They're inviting us to be a part of their journey of being married together and raising a family for the rest of their lives. And when I thought about that, I thought about that's what God is doing for you and I. He invited us to the banqueting table to accept the broken body and the blood of Jesus, to be born again and to be forgiven, but it did not stop there. God is saying there is a journey, there is a road for you to travel, and I've been before you and I've prepared a way. God is saying to us, here's an invitation to come live a life of honoring God. Yeah. That's so cool to me. And so God is inviting you, but I'm inviting you as your pastor. I'm inviting all of you to come along with us on a new journey of seeking after the new things of God. I'm inviting you. I'm saying, come be a part of today, but I'm inviting you to come with a new passion. I'm inviting you to come along with a new determination, with a new zeal. I'm inviting you to another level of dedication to see the promises of God in our future. Ephesians 3:20, it's been our theme scripture for this series. Ephesians 3:20, here is your future, here is my future. Now unto him who is able to do exceedingly abundant above and beyond all we can ask or think according to the power that works within us. I want to make this statement. I want you to look at me. Look. I'm not perfect. I'm rough around the edges. Sometimes I say things that offend people. I know I'm not the best, but here's the commitment that I want to make to you as your pastor. And I commit as myself. We commit as our family. We commit. Connor commits with you. The staff at this church commits that, you know what, we are going to continue to grow. That, you know what, the best is not behind us. The best is ahead of us. And we're going to continue to grow. And we're going to continue to study. We're going to continue to pray. We're going to continue to do everything we can with excellence. We're going to continue to get in the presence of God the 6 days a week that we don't get to see you, so that on the day that we gather together, the glory of God will fall in this place. We're going to lead. We're going to push. We're going to strive. We're committing to give you everything we've got. And the invitation is this: will you commit with us? Will you go with us to trust that the best is yet to come? Because I want to say this to you. We want to go, me and my wife and my family, me and the staff, we want to go, but we don't want to go without you. We don't want to go without you. We can't go without you. So I would say this to you today: let's do this thing together. And I would say, if you're a timekeeper, start now. Let's read some scripture and get started. John chapter 2. John chapter 2, read this familiar old story. We're going to read verses 1 through 11, then we'll pray and ask God to speak to us. John chapter 2, starting in verse number 1, says, the next day there was a wedding celebration in the village of Cana in Galilee. And Jesus' mother was there, and Jesus and his disciples were also invited to the celebration. The wine supply ran out during the festivities, so Jesus' mother told him, they have no more wine. And Jesus said, dear woman, that's not our problem. My time has not yet come. But Jesus' mother told the servants, do whatever he tells you to do. Standing nearby were 6 stone water jars used for the Jewish ceremonial washing. Each could hold 20 to 30 gallons. Jesus told the servants, fill the jars with water. And when the jars had been filled, he said, now dip some out and take it to the master of the ceremonies. So the servants followed Jesus' instruction. When the master of ceremonies tasted the water that had now been turned into wine, not knowing where it had come from, though of course the servants knew, the master of ceremonies said, he called the bridegroom over. And he said, the host always serves the best wine first, so that after everyone has drank a lot of wine, he brings the less expensive wine out in the end. But you have kept the best until now. This miraculous sign in Cana in Galilee was the first time Jesus revealed his glory and his disciples believed in him. Let's pray. Holy Spirit, speak to us. Holy Spirit, challenge us. You know who's here. You know who's listening. You know the season. You know the situation. You know everything, God. You are sovereign. So speak to us. Challenge us. Open up our minds to see you, believe you, and trust you in a greater way today. We love you. We thank you. In Jesus' name, and all of God's people said, amen. Point number one I want to challenge you about. Last Sunday, we celebrated 25 years. And how many of you love to celebrate? Come on, somebody. Like, celebration is fun. Celebration is exciting. And here's what I want to present to you today. We don't just want to celebrate what God has done in the past. We want to celebrate the possibilities of what God can do in the future. We learn to celebrate. I love celebration like I do. I just love it because I believe celebration causes us to have joy. Everybody shout joy. Wednesday night, if you were here, and most of you weren't, I'm just saying. Wednesday night, we talked a little bit about joy, and I said, it's coming again Sunday morning because I believe that joy is a game changer. And I believe that if you and I can just learn to choose joy no matter what we're facing, no matter what we're going through, how many of you know it's easy to choose joy when things are going good, but it's tougher to choose joy when things aren't going your way. But the fact of the matter is this, is the word of God. This is why I love joy. Nehemiah 8:10. Nehemiah 8:10. And Nehemiah, the prophet, continued, go and celebrate. Go celebrate. Celebrate with a feast of rich foods and sweet drinks and share gifts of food with people who have nothing prepared. Watch this. This is a sacred day before our Lord. Don't be dejected and sad. Don't be dejected and sad. Somebody say it again. Don't be dejected and sad, for the joy of the Lord is our strength. You can read all the scripture you want to read. You can pray all you want to pray. You can come to church all you want to come to church. But until you choose, I'm going to walk in joy, there is a level of strength that you and I will never attain. Oh, y'all got quiet. Choosing joy. The joy of the Lord is our strength. That has been a motto of mine for 25 years. Choose joy. Choose joy. And I love in that verse, I want to take a minute and say this. Nehemiah said, for today, he said, this day is a sacred day. Celebrate this day and have joy in this day. How many of you know every day is a day to celebrate? Come on, somebody. I said every day that I'm walking on this earth, every day that I'm breathing air, every day I get to take the blonde-headed fiddle player home, every day I get to come preach, every day is a sacred day in our eyes. I'll tell you a quick story. I'm a part of CMN. Mike McCreary was here last week. He's the director of Church Multiplication Network. It's a division of the Assemblies of God. And on the CMN team, there's a lead team. There's about 18 or 20 people that are on the lead team. And we're blessed to get to be on that lead team. We meet once or twice a year and discuss and decide. And there's a man on the lead team. His name is Pastor Jeff Leake. Pastor Jeff Leake has pastored one church in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania for 35 years. He has planted 114 churches out of that church. He is in his younger 60s. He is a beast for the kingdom of God. I woke up this morning to a text message that Pastor Jeff Leake preached his Saturday night service last night, walked off the stage in the green room, and fell over dead of a heart attack. I'm just telling you. We got to learn to know every day is a sacred day. And every day, I'm going to trust God. Every day, I'm going to love a little harder. Every day, I'm going to forgive a little bit more because I don't know how many days I got left. And my prayer for me is that when it's my time to go, I get up and preach the devil back into hell and I walk off the stage and kill over. And the next words I hear are, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Every day is a sacred day. And can I just be real with y'all? Life's too short to be an old sourpuss and be ticked off all the time and not have joy. Get over it and get over yourself. I better go on and preach. Because Proverbs 17:22 says this, a cheerful heart is good medicine, but a broken spirit saps a person's strength. Cheerful, man. If we look at the life of Jesus and I just look at his life, I want you to see something. I want to give you a new perspective. Jesus knew how to celebrate. Like he did, he knew how to have joy. You see him eating with his family. You see him eating with his friends. You see him eating with even sinners. Can I just say, we should eat every meal and fellowship at every meal like it was our last one. Jesus knew how. The Last Supper, it's a celebration where they're sitting in the upstairs with his 12 closest friends. He said, I desired to have this meal with you guys. They're celebrating the prodigal son who came back from the pig pen, kill the fatted calf, bring out the best food, put on your best clothes. Let's celebrate and have a good time. We gotta learn to celebrate what God is doing in our lives and what he's going to do every day in our lives. Once we learn to celebrate and once we learn to walk in joy, can I give y'all some statistics about joy right quick? Because some of you look like you need some joy. According to 8 different medical and scientific studies that I looked up, and how many of you know, ever since the Wuhan flu, we've been told, trust the science. Joy enhances our lives overall. Joy improves physical health. Joy improves mental well-being, and it adds resilience to our life. Joy is linked to lower blood pressure, reduced stress, stronger immune systems, and a longer lifespan. Joy enhances social connections, which means we'll have better relationships because nobody wants to hang around with a sourpuss all the time. It boosts creativity, and it aids in emotional recovery. Let me give you one scripture that's not on the screen. This is all extra, too. Habakkuk 3, 17 and 18. You should write that one down. Type it in your phone. Habakkuk 3, 17 and 18. Habakkuk 3, 17 and 18. The prophet Habakkuk said this, even though the fig tree doesn't bloom and there are no grapes on the vine, even though the olive crops fail and the fields lie empty and barren, even though the flocks die in the field and the cattle barns are empty. That don't sound good, right? Verse 18, yet I will choose to rejoice in the Lord. I will be joyful in the God of my salvation. He is my strength. He makes me sure-footed, and he allows me to walk in high places. Learn to celebrate what he did, but what he's going to do, and do it with joy. Once we get some joy, then what do we have to do? Then we have to be obedient to what God is asking us to do. How many of you know God speaks to his people? And God is always speaking to you and I. He's always saying, would you do this? Would you give a little bit more here? Would you sacrifice? God is always speaking to us because God is a God that wants to push us so that we can experience the greater things. God always speaks. And you know what God wants from you and I? Simple obedience. That's it. I got 3 kids. I love my kids, man. And I want them to have a better life than I've had. But if they're disobedient to what me and their mama tell them to do, there is no way that we're going to bless them because we will raise spoiled, entitled little children that think they get whatever they want no matter how they behave. Somebody should have shouted amen right there. And sometimes in the church, we think because we say that we believe and we think because we show up at church on Sunday that we're entitled to the greatest blessings of God, yet we are living a life of disobedience outside of Sunday morning. Just do what Jesus says. Look at John chapter 2, the story we started out with this morning. The ceremony, the wedding, there's no wine. John 2, 5. But Jesus' mother told the servants, do whatever he tells you to do. What's God telling you to do? What's God telling you not to do? What's God telling you to give up? What's God telling you to do? What's God telling me to do? Before the miracle, I want you to see in the story, before the miracle, before the supernatural, before the water was turned into wine, the servants had to show their obedience. And some of us, our lack of obedience is stopping the supernatural power of God in our lives. Just be obedient. My nephew was here. We had the Langston family Christmas yesterday. Only the Langstons celebrate Christmas in February. Just saying. But my nephew was here yesterday. And the Lord is stirring my nephew like crazy. I mean, he is on fire. I've been with him for the last, I think he's been married to my niece for 10 years, and we've never had a talk like we had yesterday. And he's just like, wow, like God has been moving and God has been speaking, and I've been stepping out and doing things that I've never done before. And because I'm doing things that I've never done before, I'm experiencing things that I've never experienced before. And he's talking about how powerful God is moving in his life. And we sat in my kitchen and talked about, it's not that hard. It's really pretty simple. Just do what God is asking you to do. It would be a game changer for your life. And for my life, obedience activated the miracle of God. It looked ordinary. Jesus said, go get some water. Dip some water out of the creek. Pour it in these pots up here. It didn't make any sense. But obedience opened the door to overflow. Bethel, I believe God is asking you and I, go down to the river. Dip up some water and pour it out when you don't even see wine just yet. Just be obedient. Bethel, I believe God is asking me and Connor and my family and the leadership just to keep showing up. God is asking you to keep showing up, to keep loving people, to keep sowing in the next generation. Faith is not just sitting back and hoping that you see it come to pass. Faith is walking like it's already done in your life. Can I be real with y'all, 11 o'clock service? How many know salvation is a free gift to you and I? While we were yet sinners, God sent his only son to die on a cross to shed the blood that would redeem you and I and give us a new life where we could be born again and assure us of eternal life in heaven. It didn't cost you and me anything. We had to recognize that we needed a Savior, repent from our sins, turn to God, and it was a free gift. And that is available to everyone. But here's what I want you to know. Once you and I receive the free gift, after that, we're going to get out of this what we put into it. I'ma just let that soak for a minute. It's free when we accept Jesus. But once we accept Jesus, we are no longer children. We are growing up and we are mature sons and daughters of the Most High God. And once we have accepted the blood of Jesus, the responsibility falls onto you and I to grow and to give and to continue to climb the spiritual ladder God has laid out there for us. It's just the way it is. Point number one, we got to celebrate and choose joy. The second thing is just be obedient. And point number three, we have to believe in our minds the best is yet to come. The best is John 2:10. But you have kept the best until now. Woo! Come on, somebody. The best, God has saved the best for right now. That's a word, y'all. That's a spiritual word. I ain't no student of prophecy, but that's a prophetic word I'll speak over you. That's a word I'll speak over me. Baby, these next years with Tubby, whoo, they better than the last 28. Come on, somebody. And me raising these kids and at this church preaching, my preaching is going to another level, baby. I am going to preach under the anointing like I ain't never preached under before, not by might nor by power, but by the Spirit, says the Lord. That's a word for me, but can I tell you something? Look at me. That's a word for you too. The best is yet to come. Taylor and Brandon. The best is yet. Not yet. Hold up. Some of y'all think your best days are behind you. That's a lie from the pit of hell. Some of y'all think, well, Bethel's peaked out. They got 850 people showing up over. Nope, sorry, Jack. We going above and beyond because God's still moving and God's still doing. Some of you think your marriage is peaked out. Some of you think your calling is peaked out, that your children are as good as it gets. Lie, lie, lie. Here's what the Word of God says. How many know the Word of God is what matters? The grass withers and the flower fades, but the Word of the Lord remains forever. Haggai 2:9. That's another one for you to write down. I don't even know if I pronounce that right. Haggai, whatever his name is. Haggai 2:9. Watch this. The future glory of this temple will be greater than its past glory, says the Lord of heaven's armies. Yeah. And in this place I will bring peace. I, the Lord of heaven's armies, have spoken. Did you get that? The future glory is better than the past glory. God's going to keep moving. God has saved the best for now. Can I challenge you with this? Let's don't get stuck where we are. Let's don't get stuck where we are and say we're better than we used to be. We're better than mom and daddy was. We're better than grandma and grandpa was. We're better than the left-wing liberals. We're better than, no. Let's don't get stuck. Let's trust God and push forward. Point number four, it's an invitation from God to us. It's an invitation from your pastor to you. This is not just a sermon. I'm inviting you to go on this journey, to be a part of the next miracle. I mean, God's still going to work some miracles. I want to be a part of that. To link arms with your family and with the church. To stop spectating and start participating. Can I tell you something? You matter at this place. Can I say that to y'all? You matter. You matter. Every one of us here matter. We are better together than we are by ourselves. Everybody in this place matters. You are a part of the body of Christ. If you are in your 60s, 70s, 80s, or 90s, we need your wisdom. Because you've been where we've never been. You've done what we've never done. You've lived through tougher times than we've ever had to live through. And we need your wisdom as we pursue the exceeding greatness of God. If you're 30s, 40s, or 50s, you know what we need from you? Your consistency. Your faithfulness. I'm just going to be consistent. I'm going to consistently raise my children. I'm going to consistently love my spouse. I'm going to consistently show up at church. We need your consistency. And if you're 15 to 30, we need your passion. We need your fire. We need your energy. We need your zeal. We need your youth. And if you say, Cody, I just came into this place and I just got saved and I don't know much, you know what I'd say to you? We need your faith. Because how many know, like freshly saved folk, they got faith to move mountains. Come on, somebody. Everybody here matters. I'm inviting you today. This is our church. This is your church. This is our moment to step into the divine destiny and the promises of Almighty God. I would challenge you, let's don't just show up and drink the wine. Let's show up and be the ones that would pour the wine out to others so that they can know the goodness of God that we know. You matter. Will you come on this journey with us? Conrad worship team, come help me close this thing. The bottom line is this. The bottom line is God has been good to us. He's brought us from a mighty long way. Can you just say amen? God is not done. He wants this. Our eyes haven't seen, our ears haven't heard, and neither has entered into our hearts the things God has prepared for you. For you. And I don't even really know you. But you're my brothers and sisters in the family of God. And God is no respecter of persons. And I'm telling you, God wants to do some stuff that will blow your socks off. You guys, Chad the dad, Brandon, Bones, I'm telling you, you matter. You are special. God has chosen you. He gave you a very specific individual fingerprint, and he knows how many hairs are on your head or are not on your head, Butch Schumann. You're special, Foremans. I'm telling you, you matter. And we got to get a hold of this thing. You got to open your mind. Stop living by the past, Big Bird. I'm telling you, Coach Sandifer. Stop. You matter. You're special, Corey. I don't care where you've been, what you've done, what you've been through. You got to know that. Reggie, Tambo, Hayes, God's got a calling on your life, boy. And don't you forget it. You'll be a better preacher than your daddy one of these days. That's what I'm talking about. I just want you to know that you matter, bullwhip, that you matter, John. All of you, you matter, and you are special in the eyes of God, and what God has done in your life is just a little bitty inkling of what He wants to do in the future. The question is, are you willing? Can I just preach? Are you willing to nut up and say, I'm going to be obedient to God? Because when God asks you to do some stuff, sometimes it ain't what we want to do. And all it takes is courage, boldness, and faith. Tom, I didn't forget you over there. I couldn't miss them ears over there. I just seen you over there. Even Tom being obedient. I don't even know where I'm going. I just want the best for y'all is all I'm saying. It just takes joy. Everybody, look, just for a minute, act like you got joy. Even if you don't, just act like it so I can see you smile. Celebrate, man. Celebrate your wife. Conrad. Celebrate, man. See, don't that feel good? Choose joy, man. Celebrate what God's doing. Just be obedient, man. That's it. It's God asking you to do. Some of it's just the little thing. Draw close to God, and He'll draw close to you. Just be obedient. And then lastly, man, trust the best is yet to come. Come on, don't be dejected. Don't be sad. Anybody can be a titty baby. Can I just say that? Like, knock it off. Quit feeling sorry for yourself. It's life. Sometimes it sucks, but stop. Stop feeling sorry for yourself and go, you know what? I'm nothing without God. But with God inside of me, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Greater is He that is within me than he that is within the world. Quit telling God how big your problems are and start telling your problems how big your God is. Walk this thing out trusting God and then come on this journey with us. We'll close today. I'm at 31 minutes. I'm over my mark. Sorry, y'all. Maybe the Baptist preacher will have kept them late today too and you can beat them to the cafe. The bottom line of this whole message is the wedding and the wine. The wine, they saved the best wine for the last. But here's what I want to say to you today. The greatest wine Jesus ever served was not at a wedding. It was at a table in an upper room with 12 misfits. Luke 22:20. After supper, He took another cup of wine and said, "This is the cup of the new covenant between God and His people, an agreement confirmed with My blood, which is poured out as a sacrifice for you." We're going to close today by serving you communion, an invitation to the table, an invitation to the communion table. Jesus said, every time you eat this bread and drink this wine, remember Me. When you and I remember what Jesus did, that's a celebratory moment. Celebrate. The broken body and the blood, it's a seal of what Jesus is doing. That points towards obedience. And lastly, it is a prophetic picture of what is coming. So today I want to invite you to come celebrate communion with us. At Bethel, we do open communion. That means you don't have to be a member of this church. You don't have to have ever attended here before. As long as you're here and you're a blood-bought child of God, you are invited to the table today to celebrate. Those of you that are going to serve communion, if you'd make your way on down here, somebody will be in your line. They'll have some bread. They'll hand you a piece of bread. They'll say, "This is the body of Christ broken for you." Step over, someone will be holding a goblet of wine and they'll say, "The blood of Christ shed for you." You take your bread, you dunk it in the wine, and then you partake. At that moment, we're believing. You're saying, "I'm accepting the invitation to do more and give more than I ever have." Let me just say this, because it happens every time. It happened first service. If your bread falls off in the wine, do not freak out. Just stop a minute. We'll give you another piece so that you can partake and that you can celebrate the goodness of God today as well. It's an invitation. Once again, I'm done. invitation to say yes to a new season, to a new community, to new growth, to walking in the power of God with a renewed dedication. The same night when Jesus was betrayed, he took the bread and he broke it. And he said, "Take, eat, my body which was broken for you. This do in remembrance of me." After they ate, he took the cup. He said, "This is my blood poured out for many for the forgiveness of sin." And then he blessed it. Let's pray and then we will bless it. I'll ask you this. If you are in this section over here, we'll ask you if you'll start to the back to make it more orderly and come around the outside wall. You can be served right there and go back down that way. If you're on this outside section, would you come around this way? Go back down middle, two rows, start at the back and come down here and you can be served. Father, we thank you for today. Thank you for your son, Jesus Christ. Thank you that you gave up your son for sinners like us. Thank you that while we were still messed up, you loved us enough to redeem us and to bring us out of the pig pen and bring us back into the Father's home, and then you celebrated us. Lord, let today be a sacred moment and a special moment where we remember what you've done for us. And Lord, let what you've done for us motivate us to be dedicated greater in the next season in our life. Lord, we love you. We bless you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Table is set over there in the back. Let's start and be served.